Send a movie idea.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Dream Factory, the world's greatest user-generated movie creation podcast. The rules are simple. We can discuss as many ideas as we like, but only one can be taken to the next stage, where it will be used as collateral to finally float this show on the stock exchange. I'm Joel, a man who puts the back in sexy back, and across from me is John Harris, a man who can speak to lemurs but chooses not to.
I think you read that. You're the man who puts back in sexy back, and I'm the man who puts sexy in sexy back.
No, that's not right. You don't put anything in anything. How are you doing? Yep, good. Okay, give us a film.
Friend of the show, Stu, has been in touch, and I assume this is in reference to last week. But as per usual, people don't give me any context, and I just have to work it out, which is fine. It's fine. Last week, one of you lovely people came up with Aquafresh Man, and it led to a conversation about the larger universe of sanitary-based superheroes.
Yeah.
So he came up with Condom America, which is good.
Is it?
Much better. Don't worry. Much better. Deodorant Man.
That's great. That is really good. What about The Flash? I know, not a sanitary product. We're moving more into sort of domestic cleaning products.
I'd take The Flash.
Vanish is definitely a superhero name as well.
Yeah. I mean, all of the domestics, come on, it's all
it can all be toilet done. Duck.
I would watch a toilet
duck. What kind of superhero is toilet duck? Thanks for sending that in, Stu. What toilet duck? What's he doing?
I think toilet duck.
What do you think?
Some sort of...
When someone says the words, what does that even mean? What does it mean? You don't associate duck with cleanliness. What does it mean?
It's true. It's one of those things that's just so synonymous with modern life that you've never questioned.
But it wasn't
it.
At some point. Someone introduced the product toilet duck. Why is it called that? Cleans your toilet. What, like a duck?
The boring truth of it is probably because the bottle looks a bit duck-like, doesn't it, the top?
Oh, yeah. I was thinking maybe it was like it floats on the water but cleans like underneath it. I don't know.
No.
Like a duck?
Yeah.
If you have to feed it bread.
The toilet duck superhero would be some sort of sewer-based vigilante.
Yeah.
And I don't know, is he a man who like Batman, is he a man who adorns himself in a duck-like manner, or is he
yes
a duck who's slightly anthropomorphized?
It's difficult, isn't it? No, I think it's someone that models himself on the duck. Maybe he's only ever lived in the sewers among the rats and the crocodiles, and he once through a grate caught a glimpse of a duck and thought, that's the most beautiful creature I've ever seen. And he's never seen another person or another animal, and so he models himself on that one duck that he saw once.
Also, urban myth is that quacks don't echo, and sewers are pretty echoey places.
Oh, amazing. So he can sneak up on people.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's clever. That is pretty clever. This is a great idea.
And does he do a big call when he gets them?
Kicks them. Absolutely.
Ah, I'm quite excited about it.
I like toilet duck. Do you think crocodiles do go in the sewers?
Do go in the sewers?
Yeah.
You make it sound like they pop in there.
Well, I can't imagine they live there. Sewer. Do they go there? What Not here, mean? Obviously, but it's a thing, isn't it?
What, a crocodile's head popping out of your loo?
Yeah. Yeah, I was so scared.
I live on the third floor. How'd you get it? It makes no sense.
I was so scared of sharks as a kid that I used to be convinced they were behind the bars of the wave machine in swimming pools, and then occasionally it'd extend to the bath and stuff. I'd be like looking around my shoulder in the bath. I've got a big bath.
Oh yeah, which I doesn't mention.
My bath is the Thames. I'm an urchin. No, yeah, but they're quite scary. You ever got right close to a wave machine? It looks like a cage. How close have you ever? How close have you ever got? What's the closest you've been to a wave machine? Did you have a local swimming pool with a wave machine?
Yeah, but I can't. I probably only went a couple of times in my life.
Why?
Are you ready? Are you ready for me to say something that will make you just be so happy to be able to take the mick out of me?
Yep.
My grandparents had a swimming pool.
Of course, I fucking did. Wave machine, pet shark. Did they have a wave machine? No, I only went to the swimming pool with the wave machine a couple of times because it was just when my grandparents' one was out of action because they had their own swimming pool. Was it indoor?
No, it was outdoor. And it wasn't very big.
Oh, you're right, mate. It's a struggle, isn't it?
Yeah.
How big was it?
My life
is... So it wasn't Olympic standard sort of pool. Did that annoy you? Did you complain about that?
Yeah. Mama, you daddy, take me to the Olympic one. Yeah, so that was fun. I mean, I probably had a lot of not genuine friends in primary school because
of the pool thing. Yeah.
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 But that's fine.
Yeah, I'm mates with you and I didn't even know about it. I'm an idiot. I'm a mug.
Now you're cashing in.
Have they still got it?
Yeah. It's unused though. It is like a swamp at the end of the garden now. We could clean it up though, Joel.
All right.
Although, to be fair, swimming in the Thames as a child, you're probably used to that kind of atmosphere.
Yeah, get me in amongst it. Good.
So that was Deodorant Man.
Deodorant Man. Great. I'm really looking forward to it, Stu, and thanks for sending that in.
We're so fucking dismissive of people's good suggestions.
People's suggestions. Do you want one from me?
Yes, please.
This is from Simon. It's School of Rock, but it's a training academy for the rocks.
Future people who want to be the Rock.
The Rocks, yeah. So I imagine that the Rock... Right, the Rock's brand is untouchable, right? He's... A superman, right? He's everywhere and everything, and he's all things to all people. But that's not going to last forever.
No.
We're going to need some new rocks. We're going to need some new action heroes. He's kind of gone beyond what the traditional action hero is now to the point where he's every action hero in every film.
Yeah.
And he's going to want to continue that legacy.
Yeah.
So he's going to have to start training up new rocks.
I like this. Like, in the real world in which we live in, that's a really smart money spinner as well, the School of Rock.
Yeah.
And so... is The Rock the teacher there, or is he more just he appears on a projector?
Yeah, he appears on a projector every now and again. He's not turning up. Maybe do a guest lecture at one of the, because there's going to be a lot of academies dotted around, I imagine. Yeah.
So who's our teacher?
That's a very good question. Bruce Willis.
Bruce Willis is the headmaster of this.
He got too old for that shit, academy, and so he went into teaching
the School of Rock.
Yeah.
And he's the headmaster, but like, what's a normal teacher look like? Is it like a Jason Statham?
He'd
be livid.
Yeah, he would be livid, but I think he'd accept it.
Yeah, so Jason Statham's ill. They need to get a supply teacher in. Jack Black.
Jack Black is living with Vin Diesel.
Yeah.
And he's been out of work for a little bit. And they call up and say, Vin, we need you to come in and do your usual stint at the School of Rock. And Jack Black does his best Vin Diesel impression. And he turns up and they're
puts on a shower cap.
Okay. This isn't what we normally book, but we're going to have to do it. We're desperate. And then Jack Black teaches them how to be cool.
He teaches them rock music.
Yeah.
Again.
For a gig. For a big gig.
But what you got to remember is the amazing image of teenagers who are all shaved heads.
Shredded. Absolutely shredded.
Shredded. And that's a tagline. Shredded and shredding.
Nice. I like that.
It's something. There's a play on shred.
Just let shred or something like that.
Let shred. Yeah, nice.
The School of Rock. Let's shred.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
I just think, and I think right now, the two of the most commanding screen presences are Jack Black and The Rock. And because The Rock's in every film, mm-hmm. he just has to do a couple of days filming, but he still gets top billing.
What obviously happens is that he gets word of what's going on at the school and he turns up to cancel their big gig, but he can't believe how great it is when he turns up.
He's crowd surfing at the end.
Yeah, he loves it. School of Rock, by the way.
Yeah?
It's one of the best films.
It's a very good film.
It's one of the best films.
You know, it's directed by Richard Linklater, his Boyhood and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know it stars Jack Black?
It stars Jack Black, yeah. And it's written by Mike White, and I love that.
It's so good.
Black and white.
It's so good. Isn't it great?
It's a great film, mate.
Do you think Mike White might be a pseudonym for Jack Black?
No, he is the other teacher in the film. He's the writer of the film.
What?
Yeah, Sarah Silverman's boyfriend.
Oh, fun.
There you go. That's not fun, it's just a fact. Would you like one more from me, Joel?
All right.
You can have as many as you like.
All right, I'd like 50.
4 billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri.
Oh, for goodness sake. At some point, the billboards thing was going to be done, wasn't it?
That's from Grace.
Grace, what's the 4th billboard going to say? Have you seen 3 billboards?
Yeah.
Did you like it?
I think it's great.
What did you think when you came out of it? Could do with an extra billboard? Is this a sequel?
Yeah. Or it's just a director's cut. There's a 4th one in the back. The film's identical.
So, spoilers coming up. The end is quite ambiguous of 3 billboards.
Yeah.
They're just driving off. They're going to go and maybe kill a guy who killed a guy.
Yeah.
Right? So, is this a sequel? Did they kill him? And then they had to put up a 4th billboard admitting to their guilt.
Oh, that's nice.
Is it nice?
No, it's neat. It's a neat sequel.
I don't know who's putting the 4th billboard up because the 3 billboards were already pretty disused. And the guy in that advertising agency got a ridiculous deal for him.
You think?
Yeah.
Were you watching that thinking, that's not fair?
I was thinking, how's he pulled that off?
He's laughing. He's gone from making no money off those billboards to making decent bunts.
He can't believe his luck. It's worth getting chucked out of a window for, I reckon. Would you get thrown out of a first-story window and kicked almost to death by a policeman for $5,000 a month for a year?
But it's not all going to me.
Why not? Oh, there's some printing costs. But come on, would you? $50,000 thrown out of a window and given a kick in?
Probably not. Would you?
Yes! How long does it take to recover from a kick in? A day? 2 days?
Lucky for you, Joel, I've got however much money that is. It's like...
And a police officer.
Yeah. Oh, can I not kick you? It has to be a police officer.
If you dress up as a police officer, you can do it.
Fortunately, I've got that costume. So you're not keen on the expanding universe of billboards?
That's just nonsense.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, John.
Hello, mate.
Would you like another film idea?
Yes, please.
This is from Mary. It's A Decent Proposal.
What?
So, you know the 80s film with Robert Redford?
A Decent Proposal.
Indecent Proposal.
Oh, okay.
Do you know what the film is? Do you know the premise of the film?
No. Sexy thriller, I'm guessing.
Yeah, how can you tell? I think Robert Redford makes the offer, but basically someone offers someone £1 million to sleep with their wife. And that is...
The whole
the
film.
Indecent proposal.
Oh, right.
So what would a decent proposal be?
£1 million to just do £1 million worth of work.
Great. Well, that's rubbish.
It's about an estate agent who's not, who's really, you know, plays by the rules, by the ball.
So it's a complete work of fiction. It's about a decent estate agent.
He just goes, yeah, this one's about worth $1 million. And they're going, that is a decent proposal. That's about it.
I was thinking maybe it could be a wedding film based in the East End.
Decent?
Yeah.
That is a decent proposal.
That's the last line of the film. He finally, like, it comes all together. I reckon it's like a knockabout East London Danny Dyer vehicle. He organises a weekend away to propose to his, he would say, missus. And it's an absolute disaster from start to finish. And he loses the ring, and, you know, there's a Spanish waiter chatting her up, and it's a nightmare for the whole thing. And in the end, though, it all comes together, and he finally gets down on one knee, and she says, "That's a decent proposal."
No, she says,
"Credits roll."
She says, "That is title card." You don't hear
a
her say
decent
it.
Proposal. Yeah. Nice.
Thanks, mate.
And I reckon, right? I genuinely believe if you and I were given 10 grand,
yeah,
and Danny Dyer for 4 weeks. We'd make more money at the box office than
Run for Your Wife.
I'm putting it out there.
Has anyone got Danny
you know who to call.
And 10 grand?
And if we didn't make, we'd have a lot of fun doing it.
What do you think about those? Like, they don't do it so much anymore, but there was like a phase like 5 years ago where it was all, the internet was just awash with decent proposals.
I don't know. I don't know who's funding them. I can only assume it's ISIS. Anti-West propaganda, isn't it?
Because
don't you think?
You hate the
West. It's basically a training film. Those sort of movies are basically training films for extremists,
what,
I think.
Where they do, like, quirky, like...
No, because they're so awful. It's like, look how bad the excesses of the West are. They think this is acceptable filmmaking.
What's the thing where people dance out of nowhere?
Flash mob.
Yeah, that flash
what
mob.
What happened to flash mobs?
Yeah.
Where did all the flash mobs go? What's the least amount of people you need for a flash mob?
If Joel, you dancing on the street earlier didn't count.
Oh.
He was like, look, John, I'm flash mobbing.
Do you remember all the companies wanted to do flash mobs? And that was like the whole thing, wasn't it?
I am a fan of seeing art or going.
Great, right. Cheers, everyone. We're off. Who isn't?
No, but of consuming from the safety of a seat in a theatre,
yep,
where the lines have been drawn. All the, like, the rules are laid out. Yeah. I don't like anything immersive. And flash mob is...
I like seeing art. A flash mob's not art, is it? although I guarantee they've done a flash mob in that weird bit in the Tate.
Probably.
But you can do what you like in that bit in the Tate. I was there once, and I was there with a mate of mine, Chris, and we were walking around the open area of the Tate. And sometimes they do good stuff there. Like, they do gigs and stuff, like Kraftwerk have played there. But most of the time it's bullshit, mate. And we were walking around, and there was just like this big crowd of people all walking around in similar outfits. We didn't even know it was an exhibition. And then before you know it, we were in the middle of it, and people are just running around us, circling us. One guy's coming up to us going, "Oh, it's, you know, it's a stroke of midnight in Moscow." And that, stuff like that's going on, and then they go and whisper to each other and come back. And I'm like, look, I like modern art, and I've got a broad appreciation of art, but I came away from that thinking, come on, there's like 50 people there. What is that?
It's art, Joel, and I like to watch it. Okay.
Yeah. So you would have liked to have been on the balcony above, looking down at me involved.
Yeah. Particularly if they were making you feel uncomfortable, I'd have been well up for it.
Look, went to a couple of great exhibitions at the Tate recently. Saw Modigliani. Right. Great.
You're so desperate for people to know that you're not some sort of philistine.
I don't want to be perceived as one of those people that goes, "How's that art?" Right.
Mm.
But I mean, how is that art? Anyway, mate, flash mobs. What are we talking about? Toilet duck?
Decent proposal.
Oh, yeah, decent proposal. Yeah, yeah.
Would you like another one from me?
No.
Okay. This one's from Tiffany.
Cheers, Tiffo.
It's called Geostormy Daniels. Do you know the film Geostorm?
Yes, yeah. This is really weird because mine this week was going to be a perfect Stormy Daniels.
No way.
Yeah. But it's not.
You moved on to something else.
So look forward to hearing about that one next week. Geostorm. Is the Gerard Butler film?
Yeah,
where he fights the weather. Does he punch a hurricane or something?
Yeah, I prefer Geo Stormy Daniels than a perfect Stormy Daniels because that sounds.
Well, let me tell you, she actually
rides a boat
rides
into
a
wave
to safety though. This time, she's
machine.
Better than the people from the perfect storm. My dad took me to see a perfect storm at the cinema. Weird thing to do that.
It's a weird blockbuster, that, isn't it?
Yeah, have you seen it?
It's a blockbuster that no,
they all die. What's perfect about that storm? It's like, what? He's supposed to be on the storm side. Really weird.
That was a that was a decent storm.
Anyway, Geo Stormy Daniels. Come on, Tiff. So what? Stormy Daniels. This has got a feeling of like, you know how they do B-movie versions of the big films?
Yeah.
And they normally get actors kind of like Stormy Daniels to be in them. So maybe she does like a sexy version of...
So she's playing Gerard Butler?
Yes, yeah.
Punching clouds?
Yeah, fighting clouds, shouting at clouds, you know, kicking rain. That's what he does in that film, isn't it? He kicks the rain. Geostorm, Gerard Butler kicks the rain. Kicking the Rain sounds like a cool album.
You think?
Don't you?
Yeah, Kicking the Rain. Sounds a bit mopey. Moby.
Sounds a bit Moby. Yeah, Moby kicks the rain.
Yeah. Should we move on to ours, Joel, or do you want some more?
I'd like to move on to ours.
Good. All right. My one this week is kind of it's a revelation that two of our favourite franchises, Joel, mm-hmm. the Star Wars franchise.
Yes.
And the Fast and Furious franchise. They've both had eight, right?
Hang on. So what are you suggesting? Crossover for number nine?
We can do that next week, Joel. What I'm suggesting is that we rename the Star Wars films to mirror what the Fast and Furious films did.
Yep.
So the Phantom Menace is now called the Star Wars because it's the Fast and the Furious, right?
Okay, I've got you.
Attack of the Clones, two stars, two wars.
Two warriors.
The third one, my favourite, Star Wars Tokyo Drift. which leads me to a further theory that all films can probably be improved with Tokyo Drift. Toy Story. Tokyo Drift.
That is better. What else could you... The Green Mile, Tokyo Drift.
Yeah.
Because the mile thing, right? It's like a road.
Fear and Loathing Las Vegas.
Tokyo Drift.
It's good, honestly.
That is good. Eyes Wide Shut, Tokyo Drift. Because it's impressive. It's an impressive move.
2001, A Space Odyssey.
2001, A Space Odyssey, Tokyo Drift.
Imagine the neon cars floating through space.
They would look great.
And then, interestingly, the fourth Fast and Furious mm-hmm. is just called Fast and Furious, which would mean...
How do they get away with
Star
that?
Wars was Star Wars. So this... It's all linking. It's all working, yeah. Right? Star Wars, the fifth one, which is, just Empire Strikes Back, mm-hmm. is now called Star 5. Then The Return of the Jedi, mm-hmm. Star Wars 6, right?
And so then, it was just called Fast and Furious 6. Their naming conventions are all... It's like they forget they've done previous films every time.
Fast and Furious, Fast 5, Fast and Furious 6. This is where it gets even better, Joe.
Are you sure number four wasn't The Fast and the Furious? And you've not seen it typed down somewhere.
But no, this is great. So, what's the?
Where's Tokyo Drift come from? It makes no sense. Fast and Furious, fine. Too Fast, Too Furious, fine. Then just
Fast and Furious,
Tokyo Drift, and then back to just calling them Fast and Furious.
So The Force Awakens is now called. This is so. Remember, you've got Star Wars, Star 5, Star Wars 5, Wars 7. It's just called Furious 7. Like, they've gone, we'll just have Fast, and then now we're just going to have Furious.
It's absolutely... I mean, what's number 8 called?
The Fate of the Wars, which would be The Fate of the Furious. So, yeah, improve any film by adding Tokyo Drift is the biggest takeaway.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. School of Rock, Tokyo Drift.
What have you got, Joel?
I'm glad you asked. So, we've actually already referenced both 2001 and Jack Black in this episode. So, I present you Shallow Hal.
Okay.
I've not rewatched Shallow Hal for many years because I worry it would cloud my view on Jack Black.
Yeah.
I think there's some bad messages in that movie.
100%. Because he's in love with her, he doesn't notice that she's obese and that's a problem.
Mm.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, take for take, scene for scene remake of 2001 A Space Odyssey, but Jack Black voices Hal.
Yeah. Okay.
So there's just more ribbip, dip, ribbip, dip, dip throughout it.
Open the pod bay doors.
Exactly.
I can't do that.
I think, is that not an improvement?
Yeah. I mean, because that's what a lot of people say walking out of 2001. This could be improved.
Yeah, exactly.
It needs a lot of improving.
Not enough humour. Not enough riff-based humour.
Yeah. Literally guitar riff-based humour.
I think it's got the voice and eyebrows of Jack Black.
It's just like, almost like felt... bits on the top that move up and down.
That he's got exceptional control of.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. He could convey anything with just his eyebrows.
He can, sure.
If we got him in this room and asked him to shut his face and convey everything through his eyebrows.
You know that bit in James Bond
mm-hmm.
where he's recovering Casino? I can't say you know that bit in James Bond. It's like 27 films. You know that bit in James Bond?
Yeah. I know.
You know that bit in Casino Royale where he's almost died but he's fine and he's recovering somewhere?
Mm-hmm.
And the woman says to him, oh, James, you know, even you could still pleasure me more than most men with just your little finger, because he jokes about only being a little finger. I don't understand it, really. You know the bit?
I think, yeah.
He's like, every bit of me could have died like, apart from my little finger. And she's like, well, you know, the things you can do with your little finger.
Yeah.
Suggesting that she would happily have sex with the... just
the corpse of...
No, not even... No. Just the dismembered little finger of Daniel Craig.
So it's like the hand in the Addams Family, but it's just a finger.
A single finger, a single digit. Anyway, yeah. What I'm trying to tell you, John, is that Jack Black could make you laugh even if he was only an eyebrow.
And pleasure me.
Yeah, and he could, yeah, well, it depends what gets you off. I think that's the crux of what I wanted to get to at the end of this episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations, Joel.
Great. And I think that's all we've got time for, John. And the reason we know that's all we've got time for is because there is a knock, knock, knock at the studio door. Or should I say, a poke, poke, poke at the studio door, for it is Daniel Craig's single little finger coming in to pleasure us both simultaneously. Like, only he knows how.
So, I was thinking earlier about TV that I watched as a kid, right?
Yep.
We're talking Sister Sister, Smart Guy, Recess.
Oh, I see. Not only did you have a swimming pool at your grandparents' house, but it sounds like Cartoon Network was a big part of it as well. They had
Sky, and so we'd go over on the weekend and be...
Just swim and watch Cartoon Network.
Terrible grandchildren.
You know what I was doing?
Yeah.
Going up chimneys.
Watching a man eat crisps on a boat, I think it was on a...
That's a reference. That's a callback, isn't it? Bloody hell. That's a call. That's good, actually, because it's dedicated listeners to get this far.
Yeah.
They've really been treated to a callback then, haven't they? I tell you what, I didn't get a call back to the climbing centre because I was banned.
That's one of my favourite Joel stories, is he's watching a man eat a packet of crisps.
You know that man, you know that man grew up to be? Darren Brown. So...
He was practicing.
He was rubbish. I saw Darren Brown like really in the really early days.
No, I was. So then I was thinking, like, I just want to be a child and go home and like buy a Panda Pop and a Freddo on my way home. Mm-hmm. Watch some like CITV. So we're talking. My parents are aliens on the way home,
yeah,
right?
Nice. Fairly Odd Parents.
Is that CITV? I don't know. That's morning stuff, don't it? Anyway, the point was, and then I had a little fantasy about being a child me. And then I thought to myself, if I woke up tomorrow morning as a child version of myself, and we have to put some rules here. You can't make like massive global changes. You can't become Biff from Back to the Future. You can't make big ripple effects. That being said, would you live your life differently?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I just zip about all the time, seeing stuff.
What, as a kid? You have to live your whole life again as a child.
Oh, I see what
knowing
you mean.
Where you
I
are
haven't
now.
Got constant access to this time machine.
No.
Well, I would have avoided you probably at all costs. So I would during the UCAS process. hang on. Also, have I got an adult brain as a child?
Oh, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about that bit.
What? Or do I just get warning signs when I'm near a change I wanted to make?
No, I think you have the knowledge you have now, but you also simultaneously are still a child, so I guess it's like a childlike version of yourself with the knowledge of what you have now.
What would I do differently? That's a very good question. I don't know if I would do things much differently. I've turned out all right.
That's the weird revelation I had thinking that was like, I think sometimes I think, oh, if I did it, I'd change everything. But then actually, I think I'd just appreciate it more. That's all it would be.
Yeah. Great. There you go. Appreciate every day. Oh, if you're encouraging people to appreciate their days more, they're going to turn this off. No, you're right. There's a finite amount of time I've got on this earth. I want to listen to this shit.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Send the guys a movie idea. Tell your friends that you like the show. Follow us on social media. Then you'll be the best listener.